You can be seated. There's my mic. If you're a youth or a kid, you can be dismissed if you haven't been dismissed already. Go head on now. Okay. Yeah. Get out here. Okay. Good to see all of you. Appreciate y'all coming out on this cold, chilly, rainy night. Oh. As if we had a choice. Okay. You had one. I didn't. Hallelujah. Nah, would have come anyway, she says. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to finish up the series we've been doing, Catalyst to Change. And we've been started in this back in January. And now we're here at the end of February. How did we get here, guys? I'm telling you, if you just keep going to bed and getting up, crazy things happen. Life goes by, doesn't it? Have y'all noticed that? But I just want to just quickly reiterate some of the things we talked about over these weeks. First of all, we started out talking about change. The beginning of the year is a time of change. And you know, it's not just the beginning of the year is a time of change. There's more than that going on. Something's happening, and God's dealing with us and bringing change in us. And if you don't sense change, I invite you to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit, because He is working to change us. It's an ongoing project of His to change you. And He's wanting to change you, whether you're yielding to that, cooperating or not. That's His plan. He's constantly changing us and urging us to change. And so these are just some things we identified as catalysts to change. And the first week we talked about the turn and how all change starts with a turn. And the Bible word for that turn is a repentance, to turn, to repent, to make an initial change, you know, change of direction. But it's not enough just to start turning. We have to keep with the change that we're making, keep the turn going. And so we talked about that. We talked about the next week about changing your mind, which is really what repentance is the fullness of it, is not just to change, but it's really to change your mind. Because when we were born again, we were changed on the inside. We became new people. So we changed out our insides. Our spirit was born again, became new. But it's our mind, our soul part, our mind, our will, emotions that really gives us the problems. And that's the part that we're in the process of really changing. I'll just remind you that Proverbs says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." It's what you're really thinking about, what you see on the inside, that really determines the course of your life. And how we discussed how change comes from the inside out. Now, tonight we're gonna talk about that again, refer to that again in a different way. But I just wanted to remind you of that all change really, that's real lasting change, comes from the inside out. You can control yourself to a certain extent, but you can't change yourself any other way. There's no other change. Change can't come from the outside in. You can put controls on people, and we see that in our penal system, if nothing else. We take what we as a society deem criminals, and we lock them up, and we put them behind bars, but we don't change them. We just limit their activity. And a lot of times that's what we do in our lives, is we limit our activity. Things are put in place around us, or we may even put those in ourselves, but that's not change. You know, change comes from the inside. It's something on the inside. And unless we deal with the inside and bring that forth, we're not going to see real change. We may just see bondage. Okay, we'll just think about that for a minute. All right, and then the next week we talked about your team and how important, and we've referred to this concept in just about every lesson on this Catalyst to Change series we've been doing, how people play a role in your change. You don't just change on your own. Everything from how the Bible says iron sharpens iron, to how you have a team for support. And we identified different people that would be beneficial for you to have in your life. If you want to change, it's good to have change partners. A good friend of ours calls them faith friends, but you know, somebody that's with you, that's changing, that's going the way you are, because frankly, they can keep you, the momentum and the synergy that a group creates can keep you in that process of change. That's why a local church is so important, a body of believers. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, if we gather together with each other, we stir each other up for good works. So we can, you know, just come in here tonight. You think, well, you know, we could have been home, and you know, it's raining and it's cold and all that. But just in the reality, you know, in the experience of us coming together, we're stirring each other up. And you might not feel much like following God or yielding to God, or like Grayson was talking about, you might not feel much like sowing good seed, but you just come and get in an environment where people kind of stir you up, and that helps you to continue to change and to follow on to know the Lord. It's why it's just so important. One of the best things you can do for yourself is give yourself the habit of going to church. Gathering with other believers. It's just a really good habit in your life. It's not about doing it for the pastor. It's not about doing it for somebody else. It's about doing it for yourself. It's God's gift to you. And it benefits you especially over the long term. But that whole idea of having a team of people, that people play a role, particularly if you give people access to your life. And that's what, it's not just a matter of being with people. It's opening up to people. It's not just enough that we, oh, look who's back. Welcome. How long you been back? A week? Welcome. I would say it in Spanish, but I'll just make a mockery of your native language and I'll do it for you later. Okay. Anyway, well, good. Praise God. We'll talk later. Anyway, but the whole idea that, if we come together and you don't share or open yourself, if you're not yielding to others, if you're not real, if you're not authentic, if you're not honest, however we want to say it, it's not really going to benefit you that much to have people on your team, you know, if you're just, you know, showing your plastic face. So you have to be open, and not everybody's open, and none of us are open all the time. I'm not even suggesting that we should be open all the time, but there are people in our lives we need to be open with. We need to be transparent. We need to get real with them. And so I encourage all of us to, you know, in our Trust Challenge intensive groups on Sunday nights. Tonight we'll have a time of sharing at the end of this lesson. And then in other relationships you have, especially spiritual relationships, I urge you to just examine yourself and saying, am I being real with people? Am I being open with people? Because if we don't give people access to our lives, they're not going to benefit us in the way that God's ordained for them to. So those are some things there. We talked about the process. That was a really interesting night. I liked that night. So I'm not going to even talk about that, but we talked about that whole process of change. And then I wasn't here one night and Nate spoke, and he spoke about the voice and how the Holy Spirit is the one who's always guiding us and leading us to change. And even now that's kind of bled over into the Trust Challenge intensives when he's talking about God's positioning system. The whole idea is whatever changes we're going to make them in response to his voice in our lives. That's the deal. And then a couple of weeks ago I shared and I talked about getting unstuck, because people, we all get to points and times in our lives where we seem to just be stuck. How do we get unstuck? And not only do we all seem to get to a point in various, you know, areas of our lives where we get stuck, some people live their lives stuck. And that is not God's will for you. He wants you to progress. That is the will of God for you, is that you make progress in your life, that you actually go somewhere, that there are changes, that you as a person are transformed. That is God's will for you. He doesn't want you just stuck where you are. It's not that we got saved, we are being saved. And that's a continual process in our lives of bringing forth salvation and manifesting that change that the Holy Spirit's working in us. So we talked about that. And then last Wednesday night, Harry spoke and he shared about hunger and the role that hunger plays in change. And basically, you know, that the hungrier you are, the more change you'll see. But you're not going to see real change in your life unless you're hungering for it. And there's this constant, he brought out this point, which was really good, that it's a paradox, as many things spiritually are, that we are to be full and to be hungry at the same time. We are to be filled with God and hungry for him at the same time. We are to be filled with his, you know, with his glory and his goodness and hungry for it at the same time. And it's kind of an interesting thing that we be satisfied yet hungry all at the same time. But that is that perpetual growth will come in our lives as we continue to hunger for him and not just get full and fat and I've already had it. And last week at the end of the time we had to share, somebody came up to me and said that he had shared with his group. The reality was that he felt like the guy who had eaten and eaten and eaten and had gotten so full that he said, I've eaten too much and now I need to fast, and had been on a fast for a long time. And he said, I think it kind of is how I feel spiritually. There was a time I just ate and I ate and I ate and I ate, and for some reason I've been fasting, which is not a good thing in this case. Not a fast that leads, you know, he's fasting the spiritual things, and last week's message kind of woke him up to, wait a minute, I need to be hungry for the things of God. I ate and I was filled, but I need to keep eating and I need to keep being filled. And that is the admonition in Ephesians where Paul's writing, and he says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek, that verb there is a verb that is a continuous verb that says, be ye being filled, keep being filled. Be full and keep being filled. And that's how the hunger for God and His plan in our lives should work, and that we would just continually be being filled. So tonight I'm going to wrap the whole thing up. I think so. What's all this stuff? Okay, just teasing. Okay, tonight, I wasn't really teasing, but tonight I am going to wrap the whole thing up, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. The first one I'm going to read is from Ephesians chapter 2, and this will actually tie in with some of the things Matt talked about on Sunday. Ephesians chapter 2, and y'all remember how on Sunday Matt talked for a moment about, if y'all were here, he talked for a moment about how there is a plan for your life, and how God, he referred to it, he often refers to it, that God has, it seems, a blueprint for Matt Wiley, for Michelle. He has Vanessa. God had a plan. He knew us before He formed us in our mother's wombs. He had a plan. When He made you, He had a plan. He had a plan and a design for you and your life, a purpose. And He equipped you to fulfill that purpose. He saw, this is the purpose I have for you, and this is what it will take to fulfill that purpose. And so He gathered the things that were needed, and He put those things into you so you could fulfill that purpose. And that's every one of us. And we are a work and a design, really a work of art, a design that God has made. And we are people. But Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, just this little scripture in here. It says, for we are His workmanship. Do y'all know that? You're God's workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus. So we're all born again in Christ Jesus, created anew in Christ Jesus for good works. So we're all created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's another little clue to what Matt's talking about, that there is something that God designed beforehand for you to do. See that? But now you and me know that in Christ, we're all in Christ. There are features we have because we're in Christ. There are characteristics that we have because we're in Christ. And there are good works that we all will do and should do as ordained by God just because we're in Christ. And these are general things that we all have. These are general characteristics and general works that we should all do. Isn't that true? We should all love one another. That's a good work. Isn't that right? We should all give to the poor. Isn't that a good work that we should all do? However, not only are there these general good works, there are specific things that are assigned to you that may or may not be assigned to me or to Ben over there, or, you know, or to James back there. He may have a completely different assignment than you, even though there are general things we're all called to do. There are some specific things. So we're all created in Christ Jesus for good works. But we're all created in Christ Jesus for a particular good work. And we're created in a particular way for particular good works. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, is that God has created each of us for something. And this season of change, in this time where we're all looking to change, hungry for change, I just wanted to give you something tonight I think will bring comfort to you. And really for me, myself, I think this is something that's helped me tremendously in my life. And it's this idea that the changes that God wants in my life really involve me moving towards manifesting Jesus, right? The changes that He has in my life will make me look more like Jesus. As I embrace those changes, I will manifest. You'll see Christ in me. The Bible says Christ should be being formed in me. So the will of God for any change in my life would bring forth more of the image of Christ, wouldn't it? It would bring forth more of His character, more of His nature. Is that right? I mean, if you are becoming more like the thief on the cross than you are Jesus, your changes you're going through are not God-led changes. Isn't that right? If you're angrier and meaner and less loving, those are not the changes that God's bringing forth. Would you say that? I mean, if you have less mercy and compassion than you once had, I could just say, based on the scripture, you're not really being conformed to the image of His dear Son. Isn't that right? And that's not what God's working in your life. But if the changes that God's bringing forth in your life, and I bring that up because people make those kinds of changes. Do you know anybody that's more bitter today than they were 20 years ago? I was just talking this afternoon to somebody, and they were telling me about somebody they worked with years ago, and that person's come back into their life, and now they're working with them again. So they worked with them 15 years ago, and now they're working with them today. And we were talking about the situation. There's kind of an ongoing issue with this person that they're dealing with. This person's very condemning and critical. This person's full of drama and gossip, and it's just generally kind of a toxic person. And the person was telling me about it, said, but you know, when I worked with her 15 years ago, I don't think she was that way. So I would say that person has undergone some changes, but the changes that person's undergone are not ones that the Holy Spirit was working. But do you know there are changes that people go through all the time that are not the Holy Spirit in the will of God? You know, the Holy Spirit working it in the will of God. These are changes that life on planet Earth can work in people. Abuse can bring out. Isn't that right? And just as Grayson was talking about earlier, just said, you know, life can be painful as an adult. And the pain of life can cause people to manifest things that just are not from God. So those are not the changes we're talking about. We're talking about bringing forth godly change. And you think, well, that's pretty stupid, Susie. We all know that. But really, I've seen people that came here and sat in these chairs, and they've undergone change in their life, and it wasn't godly change. So I just want to urge you to consider the things that seem to be happening in your life. The result of those things, is it that you're going to manifest more of Him? Are you going to be more, you know, more like Him, conformed His image? Or are you headed to something else? Because we're all changing tonight. We're all changing today. That's the deal. You might feel stuck, but the reality is there's some changes going on, and you're going one way or another. But here's what's helped me in my life. I told you I was going to tell you something that really helped me in my life, and it's this. Dun da da dum. This is what's really helped me. Is that, and I'm going to say it, and then I'll explain it to you more. The effort that all of us think that we need to put forth in changing, and me in my life, the effort that I put forth in changing, I've put forth a lot of effort. How many of y'all put forth effort to make changes in your life? You put forth effort to change in your life. And I applaud you for that, because, you know, to make positive changes, that's a good thing. But what I have found is this, that instead of putting my effort in changing, if I put my effort in yielding to Him, the change becomes effortless, because He brings the change. That's what I wanted to tell you tonight. That's the gist of it. Now let me explain it to you. Turn in your Bible, if you will, over to Romans chapter 12. The whole last weeks we've been talking about change, but I'm going to tell you, change is something that the Spirit of God does in us. And the big thing, the big role we play, is we yield to Him. That's where our effort should go. But see, here's the thing. The world tells us that our effort should go towards the work of changing. Make the list, keep the list, check the list, check each other's list, take his list and put more things on it. You know, lie and say you did do the things you really didn't do. Have any of y'all ever kept a food diary where you write down everything you eat, if you've done that? My daughter Molly and I were talking recently, and she'd been keeping this food diary, and she said she had the hardest time keeping a food diary. Now, you got to understand, her food diary, the only person looking at her food diary was her. All right? But yet, she said, there are so many things that I eat that I cannot bring myself to write down on my food diary. Now, the whole purpose of the food diary is just to record what she's eating. But she said, you know, I've just been eating some things. When I start eating chocolate, I don't put any of it on my food diary. Isn't that so silly? That says so much about how we are as humans. Because it's so ridiculous, because her body counts it, if she's writing it, you know, but in her mind, somehow or another, she just can't. It's all about that self-effort works performance thing. Somehow or another, if I don't write it down, it didn't really happen, but it actually did. But it's just how we process. It just says so much of the human, so much about the human condition. If I didn't write it down, it didn't happen. I only write down the good things. I write down when I eat the broccoli, write down the Brussels sprouts, but not going to write the chocolate. What is that? It's so stupid, Molly. If you're listening, it's stupid. I told her in person. Never mind. Okay, Romans chapter 12. But I knew exactly what she meant. Romans chapter 12. That's what, when we go back and get on the scale, the problem is we think about all the sacrifices we made. We don't think about the other things we did. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read in the New Living tonight. I'm going to read all this passage. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." That seems reasonable, right? "Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you." There's a good thing. Let God change you. Let God transform you. That's the deal. You've been here all these weeks just to hear this. God's the one that actually does the changing. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's what we talked about at the beginning. It's a change of your mind. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Write down the chocolate. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, but really love them. And he goes on and has a lot of other good admonition for us. But let's just stop right there. I want you to go back up to verse 2 in the message. It says this. It says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out." See, that's the thing. If we give him our attention, if we put... Verse 1 tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Verse 2 tells us what to do with our minds. So we start with giving him our bodies, recognizing that we need to yield to him in our bodies. Verse 2 is about yielding to him in our mind, in our thinking, opening up our mind. These are the verses in the that you normally hear in King James or New King James that talks about letting your mind be renewed by the Word of God, renewing your mind. And we use that usually in a more spiritual application, a more redemptive application, really. But in the context in which it's written, he's saying, yield your bodies, yield your minds. And then he goes on and he starts talking about the fact that you ought not think more highly of yourself than you ought. And then he starts saying this, there's a gift that's in some people like Vanessa. There's a gift that's in her, she'll manifest. Maybe it's prophecy, maybe it's leadership, maybe it's giving. Whatever one that it is, do it and do it well. And then Jose, there's something in Jose And whatever it is that's in you, find it, yield to God, and manifest it, and do it well. Whatever's in you, find it, yield to God, let Him bring it out in you, and do it well. All those verses are all tied together, and we just usually break them out separately. We usually read Romans 12:2. We don't read it in context that it's written. Is that right, Eddie? We just break it out, but it's written in this context. And then verse 6 in the Message says this: let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. I love that. Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. So here's what I want to say to you. Present your body to God. I presume you know what that means. You yield yourself to Him. You say, I'm living for Him. My body's a temple of God. And you recognize He should have His way in you, that you should be His vessel in the earth. Two, second part, let Him renovate your mind, expose yourself to His word, start getting His perspectives. You know, it's one of the reasons you come to church is to hear what God has to say in His word, to hear that explained, expounded on. That's one reason to come. That's why we read our Bibles, to see what God has to say, to let that word wash us. Isn't that right? But all the while that this is happening, change is happening in us. God's bringing forth change in us. He's got a specific plan of change for you, Matt Wiley, and He's working that change. And so God's got stuff in you that you may or may not know about. And He's saying to you, just go ahead and be who you were made to be. And if you will put your effort into yielding, presenting your body, yielding, renewing your mind, that those things will come up and come out. Some of the things I just read here in Romans 12 talks about if you're an encourager, encourage others. Now, see, there was a time in my life I would not, when I read that and it said, if you're an encourager, I would have immediately said, well, that's not me. Because, see, I come from a long line of people who are not encouragers. Can I get a witness? Not encouragers. In fact, what is the anti of that? All right, you said it. I'm going to tell everybody that Paul called me a discourager and said I came from a long line of those. He's just being real here tonight. So I wouldn't have identified with that. But one thing that's happened in my life is as I have done Romans 12:1 and presented my body to God, and as I have done Romans 12:2 and I've let the word come in and renovate my mind and change me, I have found that I'm an encourager. It's kind of crazy. Because that was in me, but the way that I lived held it down. The customs of the world around me cut that off. I was not manifesting who I really was. I have to tell you, I have not tried to be an encourager. I did not make a list of ways I could change into an encourager. I did not even find any scriptures about encouragement and start confessing them. That never happened. You know what I did? I just kept yielding to Him. Have your way in me. Believing and trusting in His work in me. Focusing my attention on Him. And as I've done that, these changes have happened in my life. And then one day I said to Matt, I said, have you noticed how encouraging I've been recently? And he's like, yeah, who was that? I'm like, that was me. And we both marveled at the work of God. Do you understand? Have any of y'all ever had this kind of thing happen in your life? That something that God changed in me, not because I made a list and tried so hard, but just because I let Him work in me and I spent my effort on yielding to Him. And the more I put my attention on His word, that I did the very things we're talking about in the Trust Challenge, that I acknowledged Him, that I listened to Him on purpose, that I responded when He told me something to do different than what I was doing, those nudges that He would give me when I was just about to put my finger out and say, I tell you what you ought to do. And suddenly, then my finger was going back and I wasn't telling them what they ought to do, even though that was the custom that I was raised in, is I tell you what you ought to do. And then I quit doing that. And it wasn't because I said to Matt, every time you see me start to discourage somebody, I need you to come up behind me and, you know, like grab me real hard so it'll kind of make an aversion and I won't do it. You know, like aversion therapy. Never mind. It wasn't because I had all these other things in place, all these changes. I didn't have a list on the refrigerator, encourage three people today. None of that happened. There was none of the things that typically you think of you need to do to make changes. You understand? I didn't enroll in a class that teaches you to be an encourager. I don't think they have those, but they should probably. But no, I didn't. None of that happened. The only thing that happened is I yielded myself to God. I began to feed on His Word. And the more time I spent with Him and the more I hungered to be pleasing to Him and the more I longed to manifest Christ in my life, the next thing that I know, one day I notice I'm being more encouraging. And then I've kind of gotten where I'm good at it. Which, I mean, maybe this isn't a big deal to y'all, but that's a huge difference. I can tell you who's very glad about this. Matt Judd. Do you understand? Because, you know, we all have our things, but he has to live with me. He's very glad that God's been working in my life. How glad are you that God's worked in my life? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Harry, are you glad? I mean, he has to live with me. People that really have to live with me are so glad that God's been working in my life. But you know, we can yield to Him or we cannot. We can let Him change us or we cannot. We can seek and hunger for Him to have His way in us, or we can just be like, it's Wednesday night, can I go home yet? But God has put in you some magnificent things that He wants to manifest, but only if you'll yield to Him. You, even you. And you might discover there's things you didn't even know about yourself that He put in you. I didn't even know He put that in me. But He did. Now, there are things that we all know about ourselves. And this leads us into what we're going to do when we break apart into groups. There are things about you that you're gifted to do. Now, usually whenever I ask a question like, tell me some things that you're gifted to do, people start telling me their skills. But I'm not talking about your skills. Skills are something you develop. Your gifts and your skills are different. You may make skills. Skills may come from your gifts. But your gifts are just your gifts. There's something that God put in you. It's not something you can develop in your gifts, but it's not a skill. Like, don't say, you know, I'm an expert, you know, clogger. I'm really good at clogging and unclogging. I'm good at plumbing. Those are both skills. That just came to me. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Nate would be proud. Something that goes together. But, you know, those are skills. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that you are gifted. You know, this might be a gifting that you have, just that you always notice if there's somebody in the room that's not being included. And you're drawn to them and you become their comforter. See, that's a gift that God would have put in you. A gift to comfort people that, and whatever. You see that? That's something that's for whatever reason, something God put in you. It might be a gift that when I think I shared this at the Bold Venture for Women, is that one of the gifts I have is I have the same, I called it anointing then, but I have the gift of the little boy that was in the book, The Emperor's New Clothes. Y'all remember that book, Hans Christian Andersen book? It's when the tailors came and said to the king, we're going to make you a magnificent outfit. And only those who are truly loyal to you, king, will be able to see it. Do you remember this story? This is a great story, Sean. You'll like this. And so these tailors said this to the king, that we're making you this great outfit, but the only people who can appreciate this and see are the people who are most loyal to you and who, you know, have your back, so to speak. And so they came, and for days they sewed this magnificent outfit. They were pretending. There was nothing there. And so then they convinced the king, even though the king himself couldn't see it, and they got him to parade through the streets. But he was naked in reality. But because they had been told that only the most loyal to the king would see it, they all pretended they were seeing it. And so they were all going, ooh, ah. And then they'd look at each other and the neighbor would go, oh, it's magnificent. Oh, the beating. Oh, the work. Oh, that's gorgeous. But the emperor was naked. And suddenly a little boy stood up in the crowd and he screams out, the king, the emperor, he's naked. And that was all that was needed for everybody to, you know, come clean from the farce that he was indeed naked. Well, that little boy, I have that same gift. That when nobody else will say, it's kind of a burden to have that gift. But that's a gift. I'm not quite sure where it fits in the scripture, but that's my gift. I don't know. I don't know if that's it. I don't know. But it's a curse, a gift. But you have gifts. You're always telling me about your gifts. Sure, we all have. Ekene, you got some? Y'all got some gifts? I want you just to take a moment. I want you to think about some of the gifts that God's put in you. I see Houston back there. I can make a list of his. Houston loved playing football in high school. Love football. But really, what I think that Houston loves is Houston loves being on a team. And if you know Houston, you know why. Because if you ever need the spirit of a team, you need to have Houston on your team because he is Mr. Spirit. He is like, go, fight, win. And he's such an encourager. And you can do it. And I'm for you, buddy. And I'm with you. And I was with in a small group with Houston, a small group of young guys a little over a year ago. And one guy was talking about how he didn't have friends and how life was kind of lonely and things were tough. And I was about to encourage him, and before I even could, Houston turned around and looked at this big guy right in his eyes, and he said, man, I'm here for you. And he just started talking. I got choked up. I couldn't even talk. Just listening to Houston encourage this guy and just love on him. And I thought, my goodness, there's a gift coming out of that young man. It was amazing. All of us have gifts like that in us, that when they come forth, they can just stop people in their tracks. We yield to them. You have things like that in you. And I'm sorry if nobody's ever taken time to help you figure out what they are, or no one's ever taken notice of them. But tonight I want us to just take a moment. We could spend like 3 days doing this. I just want you to think for a minute. What is something that you know that God's gifted you to do? Again, not a skill. Don't say sales. It's why, what is the gifting that enables you to sell? It's not lining up them little chickens in a row, making them behave, even though you do that really well. But what is it in you that enables you? There's a gift behind that order that your kids have. What is that? There's something that we all have. What is it in you? Is there something in you? Because that right there, if you yield to that, I'm telling you, just yielding to that will bring forth change in your life. The more you yield to that, and it's not just one, it's many things, but the more you yield to those things you know that are God-authored in your life, the more you'll see His goodness and His glory manifest. So I want you to think of at least one thing you're gifted at. Can everybody think of something? Jana, you got something? Will you be thinking on it, girl? If I have to come over there and think it up for you, I will. Matt, I'm sure you have several. Eli, you got something? All right, what we're going to do is I'm just going to ask you for the next few minutes. I want you to stand up in just a moment and look around. We're going to form groups of two or three, no more than four, preferably two or three guys, no more than four. And form groups with people you didn't come with tonight. Look around. These are people I didn't come with. Find somebody you didn't come with. And I want you to share with them that thought you're having right now of what you're gifted in. And then I want you to pray for each other that those gifts will be manifested as you yield more and more.